Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, fellow gamers. Welcome back to the Video Gamers Podcast. On Thursdays like today, we break down our favorite gaming news stories over the last 7 days. I am your host, Paul, and joining me, we aren't going to cover this story in detail later, but a game that he was really looking forward to, the upcoming Twisted Metal, has officially been canceled. He might be a bit sad today. It's Josh.
Why can't we have nice things, guys? You know,
does make
that
you
much
feel
to
better.
Ask, man.
It was going to be a live service game anyway.
I don't care.
So maybe it's not
Twisted
the worst.
Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
I'll buy that battle pass to upgrade my car and get new rockets or whatever.
One of Josh's most beloved series.
He's
Twisted
trying to
Metal.
Relive his 40s, you know?
Dude, that game was so good.
All right. And then joining Josh and me, we're going to find out what happens when you take one of Ryan's most beloved games, Diablo, and add in a whole bunch of dodge rolling a la Dark Souls? It's Ryan.
I think good things will happen.
Yeah.
I think good things
are going to happen maybe, too.
Maybe for once, Ryan can get on board with the dodging.
I'll roll right, for this, baby.
Let's start out with this story. You two are very excited to talk about
you're darn right I'm excited. I wasn't excited yesterday, but today I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about an upcoming game called No Rest for the Wicked, which we have not covered on this show at all. IGN has kind of dubbed it as looking like Diablo, but playing like Dark Souls, which is very funny because this comes from the team that made the Ori Metroidvania games, so they're the ones giving us this action RPG. It's a bit of a new take on isometric action RPGs. It's not high speed hack and slash. We're talking very traditional Souls stuff like dodging, parrying, timing your shots. Josh dropped on us a cool 25 minute video with no warning.
You're welcome,
of how long this was.
Surprise!
And said, let's talk about this. And Ryan and I said, yeah, we got to talk about it. So 25 minutes of an inside showcase from their team. For the most part, I think all of us liked a lot of what we saw. I do have a couple of reservations, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Tell me, what was your guys' initial response in seeing this?
Since I'm the one that shared this, dude, I don't remember. I actually saw this before IGN even covered it. I can't remember where I saw it, man. I think it was like an ad on Reddit or something where it was like, you know, they're just had a Reddit thread or something like that. And I was like, what is this? And, you know, I check out a lot of these games and a lot of them look okay, or sometimes they just look terrible and I'm like, oh man. And then Reddit's not a nice place to be. So if your game looks terrible, like people are going to rip you apart for it. And then I feel really bad for the devs in that case. But yeah, I started watching this video. And of course, it's the two devs talking, you know, and they're talking about, hey, we've been pouring our hearts and souls into this game, blah, 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 blah. And they start showing off the gameplay. But I remember they started off by saying, we're the developers of Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And I went, those are two really good games.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
And beautiful games. I mean, absolutely stunning. And then they kind of said, we have always wanted to make an action RPG game. And I went, now you're talking my language, because I'm not really a big fan of Metroidvanias. But I love action RPGs. Then they start showing the game. They start talking about everything in this game is handmade. It is hand painted. It is finely crafted. There's zero procedural generation. And they're showing off, like, you know, the beginning of the game and the gameplay. And there's weather elements. And it's so, like, just atmospheric and moody. And I instantly, within the first few minutes, I'm like, I'm drawn in. Then they start showing some of the gameplay portions and how they're focusing on the combat, and they want combat to be not spammy, which should make Ryan happy.
Yeah.
You're not spamming dodge roll. Yes, you do need to dodge and you do need to parry, but they make it a like they drive this point home that you need to pay attention to the animations and timing on things because you cannot spam stuff, you know, and your guy doesn't move real fast and neither do the other creatures. So you have to be very aware of what's going on. Then they get into all sorts of stuff like the different realms. There's housing, there's crafting, there's equipment and all this other stuff. And I just went, dude, this game looks incredible to me. And then, so of course, I just kind of slid it into our doc that we have, you know, for our Twig episodes. And thankfully, you two were like, yeah, we're in.
I think Ryan said he watched it twice. Did you spend a full 50 minutes watching this?
I 100% watched it two full times. The second time, wow. I did have it kind of like playing in the background as I was like cooking this morning. I made a bunch of food for kind of the house today and packaged for the rest of the week and stuff. But this one really gripped me. Everything the devs said sounded good. Everything they expanded on sounded even better. Like it was the graphics, the way they were all hand designed, like it was watercolor painting in motion. It was absolutely beautiful. It's great. And then you said about the, you know, we're not spamming dodge roll. We're not doing those things, but it is a part of the game. One of the parts, the guy, I remember it in my brain, like just watching it and thinking that, okay, that was cool. The guy was attacked, he dodge rolled back, and then took out his bow, drew back, and then boom, shot the enemy. And so there's just more than a simple just spam dodge roll, hit with your sword, spam dodge roll, hit with your sword. Even the way they have it set up along pathways, you have to balance your way across these pathways. If it looks like it's thin and it's a walkway, you got to make sure that you can walk across it. If it looks like you can climb up it, you probably can. So the you can tell that they put their heart into this. You can tell they put a lot of development, and I am beyond excited for this one. I am so happy that you saw this on that scary place called Reddit.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for it, man.
I think that there is so much to like about this, and it looks great. And even though the Ori games did nothing for me, I tried them both. It's just not my cup of tea. There's no denying that they can make good games that resonate with large groups of gamers. So I trust them in that respect. I don't even think you guys have mentioned the best thing that they've done, which is implementing WASD for walking in an isometric action RPG. This is not point and click to walk, which drives me wild as much as I love stuff like Diablo. I think that stuff is all absolutely great and fantastic. My only pushback to this is to make a game hard is the only option adding a stamina meter with rolling. Like that is just the automatic go-to for every game. Someone's got to come along and figure out something else, because every game that wants to be hard, they just add, you have to dodge a lot. I'd like to see a little more creativity. That's really my only complaint here. I will say, do you guys know what all those status meters were in the middle? Because there were like three of them. You had like your Tears of the Kingdom style green stamina for rolling, but then there was a yellow meter and then also a red meter, maybe to like stagger or something. I wasn't sure what that was.
Yeah, they didn't actually explain that part. And they did show off combat a pretty decent bit. They even showed a boss fight that I thought looked really cool.
It looked awesome. Yeah. It looked like Elden Ring just... in isometric perspective.
Think like an Elden Ring game, but from the Diablo perspective. I mean, that's what this game looks like, but with an incredible watercolor hand-painted style from a developer that knows what they're doing. I mean, everything about this game really was just like, I didn't know this existed. And then I'm watching this trailer and I'm like, where have you been all my life? Like, where did this come from?
Kicking guys off ledges. Yes, you know, that's my favorite mechanic of all time.
Absolutely. I saw the second they covered that, I was like, oh yeah, Paul.
The 300 kick.
Instantly thought of Paul.
They started talking about how they're using a soft skill tree where it's like, you know, they showed a guy that was playing like as a mage and had a staff and he threw a fireball. But then they were talking about like you get a Nova. So he's kind of kiting around three people and waiting until they're in the right position. And then he just slams his staff into the ground and this big Nova shoots out. Ryan mentioned like they use the perspective in really neat ways where the guy is, he's like, he has to jump up on a rock. He mantles up on another rock and then he tiptoes across this fallen tree and then comes back towards like the camera, like the screen, and then like leaps over and grabs something else. So there's all this like really neat, like three-dimensional movement in a game that looks like Diablo. I mean, these aren't things that you would expect to see. Every time I saw them introduce something like that or something new or kick a guy off a ledge, I could care less about housing, man. But they started going into the town and how your actions, you can upgrade the town if you help the people and you donate money to the town and stuff like that. And then they kind of like leapt forward and showed what a like an established town would look like. And you're talking to the blacksmith and they're saying, hey, if you're willing to help these people, they'll actually be able to craft like better things for you in the future. So this is like a, this is a fully fleshed out like RPG part of an action RPG game. And like even the housing looked really neat. I was like, okay, like I'm in for this, man. It kind of oddly, some of those aspects reminded me a little bit of Fable. I don't know if you got a little bit of that vibe from like just some of the extracurricular stuff or kind of like the world building that they did a little bit, but I got a little vibe of Fable out of that too. But yeah, I am 100% in for this one, man. I'm telling you right now, this thing is at the top of my list for recent releases coming up.
Yeah, I feel like with isometric games, they usually are not very three-dimensional. Maybe you climb a ladder or you jump over something and you can always see there's like footsteps or it'll highlight and you have to click it. This game did not really make all that stuff obvious, but you could kind of just climb and jump anywhere, even though it's from isometric view. I thought that was actually really clever. I think the last thing I'll mention about it, because I know we're kind of already going a little long on this one, is their take on weapon quality. So like they said, the common weapons, which are white, are not just trash like in any other game. On the other hand, they are the most customizable because they're very basic. So you can build that weapon into whatever you want. And then, of course, you've got your blue rare weapons that get some stat bonuses. But then I really loved how they have cursed weapons where they will have like a really big boost to a certain kind of damage, but you lose 26% of your carrying capacity. And I was like, oh, I've seen similar stuff in games. I feel like that was more around like back in the 90s more. I really like that kind of take. And then, of course, there's legendary weapons, which are not randomized stat bonuses. You know, they said we handmade these legendary weapons. They're going to feel a certain way. We wanted to make sure that that, you know, all carried across. And you don't even have to wait that long, guys. This is coming out in early access on April 18th. That's only a couple weeks out.
Yes. It'll be perfect timing after Dragon's Dogma 2. I cannot believe that they're like, dude, we're going to give you a month to play Dragon's Dogma 2, which is all I need. And then I get to jump into this game on top of that. The one thing, the one complaint I have about this is the early access. Like when you show me a game that looks this good and gets me this excited, I want it now. Like I want the game. So it's like I'm playing the early access. I can tell you that right now. But it's like I hate doing early access because I know it's not. It's like you're giving me a half a pizza and saying, look, this is going to be delicious. But I'm like, but I want the whole pizza, man. And it's like, nah, you don't get the whole pizza.
Who eats a whole pizza? What are you talking about?
But then you put it in the fridge and it's delicious the next day. Oh, my gosh.
No, I am. Okay, listen. Count your blessings. Remember when the end of last year when we said, man, there's not going to be a lot of good games this year. You know, and look what we've got so far. Come on.
We didn't know about this game 2 days ago.
I understand that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, count your blessings. Like,
oh, my man,
between this and Helldivers and these other games we've had, like, I just, man, this is turning out to be pretty good so far.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we said it at the beginning of the year. There's going to be stuff that comes out of nowhere. I mean, nowhere. And this one did. And I have no idea how this game is so far along. I mean, it looks like a pretty feature complete game. I get that it's coming out in early access, but I have a feeling this is going to be an easy 10 to 20 hours worth of early access gameplay. I hope anyway, but yeah. Oh man, I love it.
Just no multiplayer. It's on the roadmap. That's a little bit of a bummer. I'm okay with
that. Not everything needs to be multiplayer. What have we always said? Give me a finely crafted experience and charge me a fair price for that, and I'm fine with it. And this, everything they said is, we are finally crafting this game. We don't have random weapon generation. The legendary weapons, our developers and designers made every single one of these. And that was music to my ears, man.
Yeah, I do love how they did that. So yeah, April 18th, I think we'll all be checking that one out for sure. And then we'll just see whether we want to do a deep dive right away or if we want to wait down the road as they add more stuff. Not too sure yet, but you can go check that one out. And then before we move on to the next story, we do want to let you guys know about a couple of ways you can help support our show. The easiest way, and it's completely free, just takes a few seconds. Rate our show 5 stars if you could. You can do that on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps us out a lot. You can also leave a written review in Apple Podcasts. And then if you want to take it a step even further than that, you can join our Patreon. That's where you can support our show. It helps us keep it running. You get a whole bunch of awesome perks. Check it all out at multiplayersquad.com. And let's go ahead and move into a quick story here before we take our break. Somewhat hilariously, just a couple episodes ago, we talked all about this upcoming Star Wars game from Respawn.
It was going to be this
first-person Mandalorian game. We were all so jazzed. It's been canceled.
I was going to hunt gone. The bounties.
They gave it to us and immediately yanked it back. Oh, would you have rather not even known they were going to make it?
No, yes.
You almost got it. You almost got it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, they just yoinked it away from us. Yeah, I think I would have rather just not even known this thing existed, man.
Like, I think I'm with you. Let me read a quick quote here. This is the part that hurts the most. So here's what Insider Gaming said. Quote, first, it should be said that by all accounts, this game was fantastic. That's not just coming from the developers, everybody who had the opportunity to play the game. Feedback from playtests was always positive and surrounded by buzz, with the developers enjoying the entire process of working on the project. That being said, for whatever reason, EA felt like the game was too much of a financial risk, and they have decided to pull the plug. Okay. This sucks.
Can I read something that I actually wrote down for this, Paul?
Yeah.
Because I was doing some digging on this, and I found an article that's on a popular gaming website, so it's a good, credible source. And one of the statements that they made is that EA is undertaking the move in part due to what it perceives to be a rapid shift towards large open world games, massive communities, and live service gaming.
Well, of course, because that's what all the money-hungry publishers want to do.
EA, what are you doing? Who is working for you that's telling you that this is a rapid shift towards large open-world games and live service games? No! Like, this is what's wrong.
Yes, totally. Imagine, you know, it's hard to say because there's, like, LucasArts created these games like... Knights of the Old Republic, Force Unleashed, Battlefront, all of these great, amazing properties that they developed and created. And then what has EA done? They came out with what's the most recent one?
Battlefield.
The
Star Wars Jedi Survivor?
Jedi Survivor. That was okay. The one prior was good, but there's really nothing else other than that. So there's this huge list of great games with the Star Wars kind of entity that have been created, and what has EA done with it? They've done absolutely stugats. Nothing. There's you have this cash cow where if you just put some money in and put some money towards development, you'll make a ton, tenfold. I don't understand how you can't see the return on investment. I think what's going on is that they are so beholden to their own personal games and their entities that they want to develop that they're not going over to this side, you know, of the market to where they're going to have to pay royalties. You know, they're going to have to pay off, you know, for making a Star Wars game. So they're like, oh, we'll just do Apex Legends. We'll do FIFA, you know, and just try to make as much money as we can. So I don't know what I go back to Disney. Like, what are you doing? Find a different developer. Like, find somebody who can make games for you that can make money and make game players happy.
The other issue with this is Respawn that was making this game. That's a developer that knows what they're doing, man. Like, this isn't like, hey, we have some tiny studio that we're not really sure we trust that we're pumping a lot of money into, and we don't know if they can actually pull this Mandalorian game off or not.
Respawn, they have a track record.
Right. Respawn can do it, man. And then the other thing that kills me is they said, well, we're going to let Respawn make the third Jedi game. So, you know, Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor, and Jedi whatever they call it. So it's like, great, I like those games. But then they said that they're also going to let them work on Iron Man and, was it a Black Panther game, I think?
Yeah, Black Panther.
So there's a few others, too. Or something.
They're making these Marvel games, and I'm like, dude, no! Like, why?
It's pretty baffling. With all that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our break, and then we're going to come back and talk about another EA franchise that weirdly has like a different philosophy. So we're going to come back and talk about that.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we are back. So, one of my all-time favorite gaming series, Dragon Age, it has been so long awaiting this fourth entry in the series. This is also underneath the publisher of EA. This is why I'm so confused about the Mandalorian stuff, because Dragon Age 4, we have been told, was initially supposed to be this live service game, all multiplayer. And then a couple of years ago, I think we might have even covered it on This Week in Gaming, Josh, where they said, we've stripped all of that out because Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order did so well. We can use that as a template to make Dragon Age. So why they would then cancel The Mandalorian over it? It seems like they say two completely different things at the same time. Anyway, moving on. So the first Dragon Age Origins came out in 2009. The sequel, Dragon Age 2, came out in 2011. And then Inquisition came out in 2014. Dreadwolf has been in development for a full 10 years since Inquisition came out. At this point, we've got BioWare that has really fallen from grace over this last decade. There's the troubled history of just developing this game. Some people were even like throwing it out there that this game might get canceled.
Yeah.
Like a couple years ago. Like the news that we got this week was actually quite surprising. Industry insider Jeff Grubb says that it will release this year and that BioWare is, quote, pretty confident in that timeline. Where does Dragon Age rank for you guys? Like, are you both huge fans still, or do you feel like you've fallen by the wayside? And what's your reaction to this news?
I love the Dragon Age games. I'm with you, Paul. Yeah. I think you might like them a little bit more than me, but they are some of my favorite games that I have played. Like, honestly, I remember when these things came out and they had everything that I wanted in a video game. I mean, the Origins was very much a CRPG, a la Baldur's Gate 3, you know, for people that aren't real familiar with the CRPG term. I love CRPGs. I like the in-depth nature of the characters and the systems and the combat and all that stuff. The story is generally really, really well told. And so Dragon Age 2, they went a little bit more of an arcadey route on the combat. I still really enjoyed that game. It just was the lesser of the three in the series. I really liked Inquisition a lot. I'll be honest, man. I'm not confident in Dragon Age 4.
Oh, no one's confident.
I mean, you get this, like, when you have a troubled development history and it's taken you 10 years, there's a game that just released very recently.
No.
I'm sorry.
Cut.
Sorry to do this to you, Paul, but you know, Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
This is sounding real similar to me, where the developers just going, look, just ship it. Ship it, boys. We got to make
it's
some money.
It's quadruple A.
We don't
care. It's quadruple A, Josh.
Yeah, it's a quadruple A title. Ship it. And I'm really, really worried that this is going to be bad. They got away from the isometric view on this one. We found out that they said, we want to make it more like God of War. Now, that sounds great, but that also tells me you have no idea about your games and what made them great at that point, you know? So,
and they've never been chasers. Dragon Age set, they were their own setting the culture of these games. The fact that they're now chasing another title does worry me. Ryan, I wasn't even sure. Have you even played the Dragon Age games? Do you care?
I've played a little bit. I did enjoy them. I did kind of have fun throughout kind of the series, but I am nowhere near as invested as you guys are. But it is funny to see the battle, like on how, you know, you guys feel about a new one coming in with what they've said.
Dude, there was a day where when you said Dragon Age 4,
yeah,
to me, that's like saying GTA 6. Like, legitimately, you know, I mean, that's how good these games were. And it's really frightening that it's like we're hearing Dragon Age 4 in 2024. I feel like I should be like jumping out of my chair and being like, yeah, but instead I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
but here's the thing. The last entry won Game of the Year, both at the Game Awards. It was the first year they did it. And it won Game of the Year from the DICE Awards.
Yeah.
Like by all accounts, critics, gaming insiders, fans loved Inquisition.
I loved Inquisition.
Yeah. But do you know what BioWare has done since Inquisition?
Nothing.
One canceled game. I think it was called like Shadow Realms or something, and it got scrapped. They've only released two games, and it was Mass Effect Andromeda, and it was Anthem. Like
I
two games,
Anthem, man. I know
two games
I
that
flopped,
had some good things.
Yes,
Anthem had a lot of good stuff, but overall, those games were both considered huge disappointments.
Yeah.
Am I crazy to say that like this is BioWare's last chance to save like their reputation is only a shred of what it was?
You're not crazy.
If this game comes out and sucks, like the BioWare name is 100% done. You could argue it already is. It definitely will be if Dragon Age 4 falls. That's the one thing that I'm like, I hope that they know this game has to be good or their name is done.
I think you're right. I just, and nothing would make me happier than Dragon Age 4 to release and just be an absolute banger of a game, man. I mean, what a beloved series. Yeah. This is not us saying like we, you know, want this game to flop or anything like that, because I don't. And I do get excited that they're saying, hey, it's probably going to come out in 2024. Okay, fine. Delay it to 2025. I don't care. Just please let it be good. Let it fit the Dragon Age like name. You know, don't give me some, like you said, Paul, some trend chasing game that doesn't know its own identity, that's just trying to capitalize on what was fun 7 years ago when you started development on this, or 10 years ago.
10 years.
You know, yeah. And so it's like, just take your time, figure it out, give us a good game. Save the BioWare reputation, if it can even be saved at this point, and please let this game be good. But man, I am not taking the odds on it right now. Until we see gameplay and more information, which is supposed to come out this summer. Like, that's the big thing, is people are saying, hey, this is going to be like one of those, we're going to start announcing the game and showcasing it, and then 6 months later, it's going to release kind of thing, which I'm okay with. But yeah, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it.
I almost want to ask Ryan, like, what would the Vegas line be of Dragon Age 4 being nominated Game of the Year? Is it going to be like plus 200?
Oh,
plus 500?
Yeah. Plus 450 for sure. At the minus. Like,
you might
sure.
be right. It's still, I mean, it's an unimpeachable series still.
Yeah.
But oof,
it's one of those things where they just like the name is, it has so much weight to it. But
yeah,
man, with what they're going to do, who knows?
And a lot of different people, right, working on it. All right. And then our last news story of the week, I was almost going to joke, do we even care or want to talk about it? Rise of the Ronin We've talked a little bit about on the show a couple times. Famously, it's releasing the same day as Dragon's Dogma 2.
Sorry, which Rise to me makes
no sense at all. You got to separate yourself from this other game. We did get a 2-minute official combat overview. They did highlight some of the close melee with using things like katanas, bayonets on guns, spears, ranged combat, stuff like flamethrowers, flying on gliders, shooting like missiles. Do we care at this point?
I gotta ask you guys a question on this, because I actually know some people that are super hyped for Rise of the Ronin. Like, they are, this is like one of those games that they just keep talking about, and they're like, yeah, I can't wait for this to come out. And it's like, we've covered this a couple of times. We saw this 2-minute video. The more I see of this game, the less interested I get in this game. Why does this game look like it was made for on the PS2? Like, okay. I mentioned this last time. Tell me this video didn't look even worse, dude.
Okay. So here's the thing, Josh. You and I were like, how can you be saying this? Because you were telling me this looks like PS2 graphics. And I kept saying, Josh, it doesn't look good, but it doesn't look awful. All right. I have a new monitor. And here's the thing. On a 27-inch monitor, I think this game looks like a 5 out of 10 about resolution, and it's fine. It's not good. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's serviceable. Now that you talked me into this 42-inch monstrosity beast that I'm calling a monitor, it looks so much worse.
Yes,
you're looking at it up close. But that's not your average gamer. We're kind of like 1%ers here, Josh.
I get it, but it still looks bad.
It looks bad now. It looked fine to me last week. I sit 6 inches away from a 42-inch monitor. It looks so much worse now. That's why it looks so different for us.
Oh, Paul. Thank you.
If you have a big monitor, stay away. Yeah. If you're going to play on a smaller one, it's probably going to be okay.
Oh, man.
It looks very fluid. Can we at least give them that? The action looks fluid.
The gameplay looks great. Honestly, like, I just can't stop my eyes from bleeding when I look at this game, man. Okay, the other thing is, look, you're going to show off combat. I get it. But can we please stop showing off a bow and arrow and what that does? We all know that a bow and arrow shoots an arrow at somebody. Like, they spent 30 seconds of this 2-minute trailer showing off the guy shooting people with a bow and arrow. And it's like, I've seen this 18 million times in every video game ever. Like, I don't need to know how a bow and arrow works, man.
Yeah. You don't need them to highlight a sword that's pointy and you can stick it in an enemy.
Wait, that's how swords work.
The glider part where he was flying and dropped like a cluster bomb on somebody, because I don't want to just trash this game, but that part looked really cool to me. I thought the bayonet thing where you stab the dude and then shoot him and then you summon Bayonetta and she comes down and kicks him. Like, I don't know, man. If you're excited for this, I am super happy for you. But the more I see this game, the more I just am like, ugh.
For the record, I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I think just the graphics look terrible. I think the game looks fun. Ryan, I kind of sense that they've been kind of losing you, or am I wrong in that?
They're kind of losing me, but once I saw 4-player co-op, like, that sucked me right back in, baby.
Yeah,
like, that's all I need to hear, because that's what the essence of my gaming life was, is like, even on single player games, we were sitting next to each other. So if we can just play a game together, that's gonna alleviate any, you know, graphical issues that Josh may have, and make for a fun game. So I don't know, I'm still way up on the fence on this one, but having a 4-player co-op to where we can all just slash up stuff together is pretty cool.
You guys want to guess the Metacritic score reception? I bet this game is going to be an 83 on Metacritic.
I was going to say 82. And I was going to say 82.
And I think it's going to have like a small cult army that absolutely loves this game.
To me, this is the epitome of the 7 out of 10 on IGN. Not to pick on them, but it's going to be like, it's a video game. It's not terrible. But there's
nothing
special.
Well, it's either a 7, an 8, or a 9.
You know,
there's no other option.
Bob will take 7.1.
You think it's like 71 on Metacritic? That's bad.
Well, you said 7.2, right?
No, IGN, I was saying, because they give everything a 7.
Yeah.
But Metacritic is the 0 to 100 score.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. No doubt Dragon's Dogma 2, I think, is going to be much more beloved and the bigger title. But maybe there's a case that, you know, there's room for both. Maybe.
You never know.
It's definitely more action-oriented for those with, you know, a shorter attention span. All right. Well, I think that wraps up everything here for This Week in Gaming. As a reminder, please make sure to rate our show 5 stars, leave a written review, and come check out Patreon support options. That URL is multiplayersquad.com. That'll unlock the bonus Squadcast episodes, tons of other perks. You can also find us on socials at Video Gamers Pod, and come join our free Discord. There's a link in the episode description. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, happy gaming.
See ya.
All right. See everybody.